great leaders live forever. They live forever because they're living their legacy now, not after they're gone. And again, I welcome you to episode 198 of the Walking Leader Podcast. As always, the Walking Leader Podcast is an audio tool for you, current and future leaders, to sharpen your skills and hone your craft, to help keep those fears that leaders so often face, keep them at bay. And what fears, you ask? Well, it seems that lately leaders at all levels are afraid to step in, step up, and lead. They're afraid to be misunderstood. And most of all, they're afraid of failure, fear of failure. Well, or any other reason they have. But guess what? Not on my watch, folks. No, I'm here to help you every step of the way. My name is Dave Guerra, and let's get this episode started. And again, I welcome you to episode 198. Today's topic is your legacy as a leader. That's today's topic, or this week's topic, this episode's topic. And what's behind all of this? Why are we talking about legacy? Well, let's define it, and then we'll break it down. And real simple, legacy, according to vocabulary.com, the vocabulary.com website, legacy, it's for something handed down from one generation to the next. A retiring company president might leave a legacy of honesty and integrity. You leave a legacy of your integrity, who you are, who you became, what you did with it, and how you inspired others, how you motivated others, how you, good or bad inspiration, whatever, that's your legacy. And usually you don't know your legacy because you're gone. Because after you're gone, that's how people interpret who you are, is how they'll remember you, In some cases, people will leave an endowment or a scholarship to a local university, and that's their legacy. In other cases, other people will inspire others to do other things. In the case, let's just say my grandfather, he was in World War II, the Second World War. He came back home, started a family, raised a family, and that emulation, I tried to emulate his life, his legacy, even though he was still alive for a big part of my early adult life. He passed away when I was in my 30s. But again, it's just one of those that it's like I did get to do a lot of things because of him. His integrity, his honesty, his compassion, his sense of fairness. He never pulled punches. He never played favorites with any of his grandkids or his kids. He was always a rock. He was always solid. And that's that legacy. And that's what we need to work on now, is that legacy of what's going to happen after we're gone. How are they going to think of us? And I know you hear, and I've said it before, it doesn't matter whether other people think of you. Yes. But if you're trying to do your best, how are you going to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? Because once you're gone, you're gone. And they say that people live in the memories of others and that legacy. And so here I am, 20 years after he passed away, and give or take, and I'm still talking about him. He's still very much alive. I still feel his love. I still feel it here in my heart right now as I talk about him, because he gave us that gift. He gave all of us that gift. And so I have that in me. And every time I think of him, I see his photograph. I have his photograph hanging in the living room. And it helps motivate me. It helps inspire me. It helps shape me and shift me into who I need to be. I need to be myself. I need to be the best always. I need to always be looking forward. I can't be stagnant, looking in the back, dwelling on those past mistakes. The only time I want to dwell on those past mistakes is to make sure I don't make those same mistakes again in the future. But that's my thing. That's my thing. You know, my grandfather didn't have time to look back on what happened in the war, because he was busy. As soon as he got home, he already had two kids, and he was already creating a bigger family and a place for them to live and grow and love and have kids of their own and so on and so on. And here we are. Now I have kids of my own. All because he made it back. That's his legacy. And with that, he had a gift and he gave it to us all. And I see him and my kids. Again, there's that legacy. So what I'm getting at is we have to always be thinking about, we always have to be living our legacy. That's really it. We can't say, oh, well, when I die, think of me this way. Because if I never behaved in that manner, that form or fashion, how can people think of me that way? How can people believe in me that way? So that whole thing comes up, and it comes up every once in a while when notable individuals pass. And in the case of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she just passed away. And I'm not playing politics here. I just do believe that her legacy is something that, well, will transcend time, transcend politics, party sides, left and right, up and down, forward, backward. It's going to transcend all that. Because, again, this woman, this Supreme Court justice, this lawyer, this human being, this American citizen, believed in her country enough that to still want to be a part of it and to do things with it and to try to make it better for the future. Because that's where it goes from there when it deals with the Supreme Court. It's dealing with our future. Is the actions that they take today will impact tomorrow. Look at that. So again, I'm not picking party sides, but what I'm saying is here's an individual that has a legacy, whether she knew it or not. She probably did, as later on in the year she fell into her place in popular American culture or American popular culture. And I mean, enough to get just her initials. Very few people get their initials, and that's how they're known. So that says a lot about the individual. And it's where everybody agreed upon. And obviously nobody lost respect for the fact that she was a Supreme Court justice. No, it transcended that. It went beyond that. And so I received an article or a link to an article today or yesterday, actually. And it was an article in the Signal, the Santa Clarita Valley Signal. I guess it's Santa Clarita Valley's number one local news source. And the author is Signal business contributor Paul Butler, and it's called Your Legacy of Leadership. And it's like, yeah, it's a great idea, your legacy and your leadership and the legacy of your leadership. And we start thinking about that. And then he does mention Justice Ginsburg. And in it, he starts talking about the late coach John Wooden. Wooden was an American basketball player and coach. Quote, one of the most revered coaches in the history of sports, Wooden's nearly 30-year coaching career and overwhelmingly positive critical acclaim have created a legacy of great interest in not only sports, but in also personal success, and organizational leadership. And Butler goes on to write that he admires Wooden's legacy, and I've yet to find anyone who disagrees. I admire his legacy also. I believe this is because he built his leadership philosophy on objective, timeless truths about human behavior. And again, he talks about that. And again, there it is. Timeless truths about human behavior. Again, he was being authentic. He was being realistic. He was being who he was and who he needed to be at that time. And especially as a coach, when you're coaching athletes, you want to take them to the next level and to be a winning coach of winning athletes. And you're definitely all at a higher, much higher level. So you're living, you have no time to be anything else, but to live your legacy, live what you believe in your philosophy. And lead by example, live by example, perform at that level constantly to influence not just his own life, but to influence the lives of those that he coaches, to influence the lives of everyone that he met. And now outside of the coaching realm, outside of the college basketball realm, business, organizational success, personal success, it permeates into that. And that's a serious legacy, folks. That's a serious legacy. And the same thing as it goes on in the article, he does talk about Justice Ginsburg. He also talks about the downside of those legacies. He talks about Dennis Kozlowski, the former CEO, chief executive officer of Tyco International. In 2005, Kozlowski was convicted of crimes related to his receipt of $81 million in perpetuity. And purportedly unauthorized bonuses. Sorry about that, in perpetuity. The purchase of art for his Manhattan apartment of $15 million and the payment by Tyco of a $20 million investment banking fee for his own personal gain. He had a Tyco But he had Tycho pay $30 million for his apartment, which included $6,000 shower curtains and a $15,000 dog umbrella stand, not to mention charging back one half of it, of the $15 million bill for his wife's 40th birthday, which was held on an Italian island. And I was like, what's unbelievable? How did somebody get away with that? Well, he didn't, because Kozlowski was sentenced to serve up to 25 years in prison. He was also directed to return $500 million in compensation and benefits he'd received during his tenure at Tycho under New York's quote-unquote faithless servant doctrine. And increasingly, he had attended a private Catholic university, and so surely he'd heard a sermon or three about servant leadership, end quote, in the article. And it's a great little article, and I will link it in the show notes. So it gets you thinking. It's like, you know, they think they can get away with it, and they think they're above it, but at what point is it just, can I do it? Versus just greed? Versus that mindset of, well, I'm entitled to it, I deserve it. And again, I'm not going to get into the psychology of that. I'll leave that to the psychologist. But what I'm getting at is that the legacy is not going to be a positive one. Now, Tycho International, huge conglomerate, huge business, done a lot of good, but will forever be scarred by Kozlowski and what he did to that organization and how he dragged that organization down. Same thing like with Enron, MCI, WorldCom, those there at the turn of the century, the 21st century, all of that nonsense. And then over years, other things have happened, other situations. And so it gets crazy. It gets crazy. But again, working beyond it and working to move forward from it definitely helps. But how does someone get to that point of saying, hey, look, okay, maybe my actions today will not look good on me later after I'm gone. I want to build a better world for myself and in turn build a world, better world for others, which in turn means I'm living my legacy. I'm living what I believe in. And it's got to be something that you have to initiate on your own. So this is where your own self-leadership comes in. Your legacy is based on your self-leadership. And so your self-leadership begins with you and ends with you. You're the one that has to decide, oh, I'm going to get up every morning at 5:30 and go 30 minutes jogging and 15 minutes on each end, on the outside of that, a walk. You're the one that has to decide, you know what, I need to start eating a little bit better. You're the one that needs to decide, you know what, I need to read a little more. I'm the one that needs to drink more water. I'm the one that needs to start walking around with a smile on my face. I'm the one that needs to start asking people, hey, what can I do to help you today? That's self-leadership, self-discipline, authenticity, genuine. And eventually it does roll into that. But you have got to be authentic and genuine with yourself. You've got to be genuine and authentic with yourself. And I've talked about this in the past. It still baffles me. I had a situation where I asked somebody a question. They ignored me for 80 days. They never answered a simple yes or no question for 80 days. And it's like, I'm thinking, how does this person deal with this? And it wasn't like, oh, they forgot about it. No, it was sitting there on their Twitter feed. It was sitting there on their Twitter inbox. So I know that they would get other messages from other individuals and they would answer those. But so at that point, at some point after 80 days, you start realizing, well, you know what? I can't be waiting for these people. I can't be waiting for this individual. I can't wait. I cannot be on their timeline. I have to take the initiative and act on my own timeline. Because if I'm going to sit here waiting on someone to give me permission to do something, it's never going to get done because they'll never, ever give me permission. And after 80 days, yeah, they're not giving me permission. They're not answering my question. But guess what happened on the 81st day after I'm done with it? That's when they realize, oh, look what Dave did to me. Look what Dave did to me. Look how bad Dave is. Completely negating the fact that I had an 80-day question that needed, I had a question 80 days old. Folks, if you've ever been on a situation where it's an 80 days and you're just waiting for a simple yes or no, That's all it was. If it had been a no, we would have moved on and that would have been it. Never asked asked the request, never would have repeated the question, because at that point I know the answer. But had it been yes, then yes, we would have expanded a little bit more and gone forward. But after 80 days of complete radio silence, where's the leadership in there? Where is it? When is enough enough? And that's the thing, folks. At some point, we have to realize when enough is enough. When we want to change, when we want to make sure that our lives are going to turn in a better direction, and we got to do what we got to do. Others aren't going to like it because it doesn't fit into their agenda. It's not what they like. It's not how we should be acting, because that's how they believe everyone should behave and act. We need to be what's good for us. We need to do what's good for us. We need to look out for ourselves first. And then, because we start living authentically, it's not being selfish. It's about being authentic. And so we start going and we become authentic. And what have we got? Now we've got leadership. We've got self-leadership. And now we're ready to start sharing that and living it and becoming that and embodying that. And when we bring in others because they want to be part of it and they believe in it, guess what? We've now created a legacy. And once we're creating that legacy and we're living that legacy, we can't back down. You can't back down, because I guarantee you, you back down, you change paths, you change directions. I'm too tired. I don't want to do that today. It's over. And it is that simple. And guess what? It's never coming back. It's just that simple. So again, folks, remember, living your legacy begins with you today. It begins with you taking a little initiative and being aware that you have to be authentic. You have to be genuine in the true sense of you really want to be authentic. You really want to be genuine. And you practice a little self leadership going forward. And that's how you make it. And that's how your legacy of your leadership lives far longer than you ever will. Because, well, technically, you'll live forever then. And hey, who doesn't want to live forever? Everyone, if you have any comments, questions, concerns about this week's episode, drop me an email, dave@davegira.com, or on Twitter, @DaveGira, all one word, this week's episode. Your legacy as a leader, again, reach out. Don't hesitate. Also, I do invite you to follow me on Twitter, @DaveGira.com. On Instagram, that's Dave_Guerra. So there's an underscore between my first and last name. And on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDavidGuerra. Again, I want to thank everyone for listening to episode 198. Thank you for making it this far. Join me next time as we continue our focus on lessons and leadership here on the Walking Leader podcast. Until then, I ask that you do take care of yourself, take care of each other, listen to each other, talk to each other, and remember to always go beyond the grind and go beyond the hustle, because today and every day, that is the only way to be the walking leader and a leader that is truly great to follow.